Hi everyone, welcome. Hi everyone, welcome to our first radio show. It's going to be called Beautiful from the Inside Out. I'm life coach and multi-passionista Amanda Saccato, and along for this great adventure with us today is my good friend and fellow coach, Frida Corcoran.
Hi everyone, we're really excited about this show, not only because it's our first show ever, but it's because it gives us an opportunity to have you learn more about us, how we got into the business, what our passions are, and most importantly, what we have planned for our upcoming shows.
So I'm really excited to get started. I'm going to tell you a little bit about me and kind of how I came into coaching. I was working in law and finance for about 20 years, really unhappy, unfulfilled, completely stressed out, and it was just exhausting me, taking every ounce of my soul. And I needed tools to deal with the everyday life of stress at my job. And I began going to school in the city, which is where I met Frida. And we went to a school called Coaching for Transformation in Manhattan. And it really just changed my life. It gave me the ability to kind of deal with stress and manage things better. It shifted my mindset. And now today, flash ahead 5 years, I'm now coaching full-time. I'm working as a life coach where I work with women to help with really loving themselves from the inside out and building healthier relationships. And recently, I launched my business coaching chapter of the business where I work with heart-centered women entrepreneurs by working together with them and creating a blueprint for their business. I pass all the delegation and all of the technical difficulties and challenges right on to my virtual staff. I have a full virtual support team that basically takes care of all aspects of the business, and that has just taken off overnight. So I'm really enjoying what I'm doing. Frida, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and your journey with coaching?
Sure. And, you know, it's always great to hear about your story because I feel like I was there, you know, at the very beginning when you started off, and I saw kind of the unhappiness and the struggle and, you know, just feeling unfulfilled in your life. And I've really seen how you've, you know, manifested everything in your life. So it's great to see this change in you. So I'm really excited.
Thank you.
So a little bit about me. I'll kind of start at the beginning. I'm originally from New York City, having been born in Manhattan and raised here my entire life. I was raised by a single mother, which meant that I was kind of like the center of the universe, but also very alone in my center of the universe.
Oh, I can relate.
So, I came from, you know, a very loving home, but a very strict home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was dealing with a mother who had a mother of her own who was, you know, a victim of abuse, a victim of sexual assault, who had alcohol dependency. So, you know, this is kind of the legacy that, you know, I came from. So, you know, so I was a very creative, quiet child, you know, and Amanda can attest to kind of my personality. I grew up being a very observant child, a very intuitive child. So this has helped me along the way with, you know, the career path that we've chosen. So, I spent most of my life, I actually graduated with a BA in psychology, and I said, you know what, I want to see what the world has to offer. And I've had a lot of different jobs in a lot of different industries, and it helped me a great deal, but I was in the same position as Amanda. You know, I was just kind of unfulfilled, just feeling like I wasn't living my purpose.
Mm.
And you know this, Amanda. I mean,
yeah.
You know, this has been our struggle. And I said, hey, I want to do something where I'm helping people, And that's where, you know, we went to Leadership That Works, and we met.
Mm-hmm.
I met Amanda, and we clicked right away.
It's funny because I feel like my whole life I was always fighting for trying to do something of contribution. And I can remember a story that my mom told me back from when I was in nursery school.
Mm.
And one of my best friends in nursery school was blind. And I just always have this, I don't know, I just always see the best in everyone. I don't think there's anything that anyone can't do when they're committed. And
I can attest. To you being very, just like, very forgiving of people's,
yeah,
you know, challenges.
And it was the funniest thing because, you know, nursery school, what are you, 4 or 5 years old?
Mm-hmm.
My thing was the monkey bars. And I wanted my best friend there with me through every single thing. And I had her on the monkey bars with me. And the teacher couldn't believe it because she was blind, but there she was with me on the monkey bars. And my mom tells me that story all the time. And it's funny because it kind of relates to how I am now, because I just try to really find the best in people.
And you know what? It does tie into coaching.
Yeah.
Because, and especially transformational coaching,
mm-hmm,
because it's seeing people as whole and complete. And, you know, everyone's got the tools within them.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, you've got to realize it yourself. And a coach helps you to see the tools that you have within and just kind of helps you unveil that.
Absolutely.
That's a great story.
I think that a lot of it comes from, you know, I also had struggles growing up in my childhood. And, you know, I'm pretty open in sharing about it, but I grew up with my mom being mentally ill, and she was 6 since I was 5 years old. And I can remember just such crazy times that, you know, according to statistics, I'm not supposed to be okay right now. And, I mean, I can remember just the challenges of dealing with it when she would have her breakdowns and become catatonic and not talk to me and just shut down emotionally. And, you know, I never understood it, but I think I always tried to stay curious.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, I had to still have my own mental awareness for myself and boundaries, but I was always just curious to understand it. Like, why was she different than other people?
Right.
So it's really similar. Like, mental illness, dealing with that is so similar to dealing with alcoholics.
Yeah.
And did you ever read the book Codependent No More?
I haven't.
It's really, really helpful. It really correlates and complements both sides of it. Even though the focus is alcoholism, it was recommended to me when I was, gosh, like 20 years ago. And it helped me really understand how to deal with it from the other side and coping with it. So it was really pretty interesting.
I think that's amazing. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why I had been curious about psychology in the first place. It's like understanding the motivation of people, of yourself, right,
mm-hmm,
what motivates you. And I think that's what's been great about the coaching.
Yes.
And, you know, what do you see as one of the great benefits that you've gotten since you've started coaching?
I think one of the biggest changes I've seen in myself is just, I should probably share my story from the other day. I kind of just push through things and I don't give up. And, you know, I shared on social media, of course, I had an opportunity to speak with Tyrese.
Oh, yeah. That's exciting.
That was just amazing for me. And if this was years ago, you know, if this was even 5 years ago, I would not have pushed myself to go through with it because my mind would have completely sabotaged the whole thing.
Yeah.
I would have said, oh, I'm not going to know what to say. I'm going to sound stupid. I'm going to be on camera. Who's going to see me? And I had some of those feelings come up, but then I recognized them. And I think that was the difference,
mm-hmm,
because you have more self-awareness and I pushed through it.
Yeah.
And I did. I six hours of it, I sat there and struggled with it. But I got through the end and I talked to him for about 5 minutes. And he was such an amazing person. And it just pushed me even more because one of the greatest things, I think he's so inspiring to listen to. And he admitted that in his, he was doing 80, he did about 80 or 100 calls that night, calling everyone that bought his album in bulk because he was trying to reach a certain goal. That's how I got to talk to him. But one of the things he shared openly and vulnerably was that he was scared.
Yeah.
And I said, oh my gosh, she's human too.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made me feel so much better. Like, okay, what else can I do now? And even like, I'm, of course, Tony Robbins doing the fire walk. You walk on fire. It's like, okay, well, what else?
What else can I not do, right? Or what can't I achieve?
So Frida's going to be coming with me on the fire walk, and you're all witnessing now.
I promise. You all have to hold me to it. And I think that's a great example, because when you make those, you know, unaskable asks, you know, for lack of a better phrase, when you put yourself out there, like Tyrese did, it almost calls out this audience of, you know, these fans to also make those risks themselves.
Yeah.
And for you, you know, you put yourself out there and you took this action. And the result was more than you could have ever hoped and dreamed.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great lesson for everyone. No matter how small you think this, you know, this ask is, take that chance.
Yeah.
Take that risk, because you never know. You never know where you're going to go.
I look back and I look at how many things I've done, and I'm sure that, you know, the thing you can probably relate, that I had opportunities and I sabotaged them because I said, oh, I can't possibly do this. I can't possibly, you know, it's not going to work out, or I'm going to ruin it, or whatever story I come up with. So, I mean, there have to be times in your life that you just sabotaged or just doubted situations.
And, you know, it's funny because for me, you know, growing up as this, you know, and Amanda Kent knows this about myself, you know, I was always a very guarded person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an introvert. So introverts in an extroverted society kind of come across as, you know, weird. So, you know, there have been many opportunities that have passed me by because, you know, I didn't have that confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have that self-esteem. And a lot of women, you know, can relate to this. You know, we care, you know, we care about what we look like and, you know, how we don't, you know, how maybe we come across or don't come across.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, you know, there have been many opportunities that I've passed because I just didn't feel good enough.
But I remember when you went to the forum.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I never saw Frida on fire like this before. She was just, there was nothing that got in her way. And I think that was your biggest shift when you joined the forum.
It was. I mean, I think that coaching did open me up because it kind of, it puts you into situations where you are vulnerable and you have to look at yourself and you have to look in the mirror and see, okay, this is what scares me. This is, you know, I'm revealing it to people that I, you know, that I don't really know. How are they going to use it against me? You know, this is kind
Absolutely.
Of like, you know, our natural tendency. But that opened me up a lot. And then when I did the forum, the Landmark Forum, that just took me to another level because it is all about what you're talking about, making that that. Taking action.
And they call you out on your BS.
They do. And, you know, they called me out on it because I have my little manipulations, and Amanda knows how to read through it. And that's not true for most people, but that has been really one of my challenges, and I've really worked through that.
You know, one of the things that I thought was just so inspiring and just, you know, from my own background, when you did the Friending Our Fathers program, because that's not something, you know, and I want you to talk a little about it, but that was something that I applaud your courage. I think that was phenomenal what you did.
Thank you so much. And we'll talk a little bit about your experience because we do have issues with our fathers. But for me, you know, I actually started, I was raised a single child, you know, an only child, but I have many siblings from my father on my father's side.
Mm.
I have about 10 siblings that I never met until I was about 21 and I started searching for them myself. And I started to see a connection between how we all, you know, our behaviors, our kind of our issues, our hang-ups, and I felt that it was directly connected to our father. And for me, it was very important to get in touch with him. I had reached out to him about 17 years ago. It was a struggle. He does suffer from alcohol dependency. And for me, it was just very difficult. You know, I tried very hard to reach out, and then I would just get turned off. And I mean, you totally understand where I'm coming from with this.
I do. But I think that there's the fact that you were at least able to have something. Do you feel at all a sense of closure or?
Well, you know, the project was, it's called Friending Our Fathers because it's a play on the connections that we make on social media, right? So, you know, when I met my father, I just struggled with this accepting of him. And I felt like he wasn't there for me. He wasn't the father of the year. He didn't support me. I thought, well, you know, I could have been anything in the world had I had my father in my life. And so this whole idea of Friending Our Fathers was, you know, why don't we change the conversation? Why don't we make this about how do I connect with this individual as an individual and not as this label of
so taking the expectation
away. Yeah, taking that expectation away and just making it about, you know, how can I talk to this person as another human being? So it has been a really rewarding experience.
Well, you know, it's almost, it makes sense that you're saying, explaining it like that because you can't really talk to them as a father when they haven't been there.
Exactly.
They're a stranger.
That's right.
You have to actually get to know them from scratch. You don't know who they are at all.
Exactly. And, you know, it's funny because I launched this project about 2 years ago. And we did some interviews in my community. And there was one gentleman that really connected with the project. And I remember his story because he said he had been raised with a father, but it was a really strained relationship. It was a relationship where he felt that his father was very strict and didn't understand him. And he was, you know, hey, old man, you don't know what my struggles are. And, you know, his father, you know, fell ill, and it was later in his life, and he was able to really get to know him and take care of him at the end of his life. And he said, Frida, you know, I really connected with your project because for me, I got to know him as a person, and I really fell in love with him. So, yeah, this has been a really rewarding experience. I'm working on a book. And so, you know, once that launches, I'll make sure to let everyone know. But thanks for asking about it.
Yeah, I think it just really fills that place in your heart and that even if not having the connection to your father, having that connection with community. And sometimes that's what it's about. It's not necessarily the label of that particular person, but having the right people around you. And that can be fulfilling in its own way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I can relate. I had, you know, the whole story with my father. My father hasn't been around since I was in my 20s, and even when he was, when I was younger, people saw him as this angel, and everyone thought he was so friendly and so nice. And, you know, I thought I was crazy when I was a kid because I would try to tell people, no, he's horrible at home, and no one believed me. My friend's parents, I would talk to them, and they loved my father until he kind of slipped up a few times. And, you know, showed his other
side.
And the
mask came off.
Exactly. And then it was just, you know, everything was wide open and, you know, it was a little more public at that point. But I was, actually got emancipated when I was 16. I don't know if I ever told you. I got emancipated at 16 and I lived on my own with my friend in high school. And I worked and I paid rent and moved on my own. I actually didn't even go to college. And I've just been so fortunate through jobs that I've had and just perseverance. And I think, oddly enough, that I'm in a different place now, but I think starting out, what got me through everything and what pushed me through to have a successful career and to do well is I had to prove him wrong. He never believed in me. And so even though I haven't talked to him, I made attempts to talk to him, but I haven't actually had a healthy conversation in probably 20 years. I think that that actually is my motivation. So I think the best thing that I can say is that, and not even just the relationship with him, but what I've learned is that I'm not an angry person and I don't hold grudges. And I think that everyone that crosses your life at one point or another, there is something that you have to learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter what it is. And for me to make peace with the situation, and I recognize that my father's not going to be in my life, that not having him in my life is what pushed me to be motivated and to do all these things on my own and to be able to support myself and be independent.
I think that's incredible that you've been able to see a situation in your own life and make it a positive for yourself.
But the funny thing is, I've done that all along, and that's what coaching really is, if
it
you
is.
Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's finding that gift and that the reward in your pain. And if you find that, that's the magic. Like, that's when you start to heal, and that's when you start to grow. And as long as you play the victim and hold on to a story, you're stuck. But if you can own your situation and find that lesson in there, that's when you start to move on to the next level and, like, kind of peel away the layers of the onion and really grow.
Yeah. I think that's where people really need to start changing their thought process about
mm-hmm.
events in their life.
Yes.
Because that, for me, I agree with you. That has been always, challenges and struggles have always been a place where I've grown. I've had the most growth. And I really welcome it.
Mm-hmm.
I really welcome those challenges because I feel like it's almost like, you know, that phoenix, when they say that phoenix that, you know, kind of is reborn after
yeah.
the fire.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally see how that has been a positive in your life. And I see how that would be wonderful for everyone to take that advice
mm-hmm.
and really see their life as, you know, just a series of challenges, of ups and downs, and, you know, the beauty at the end of the, you know, at the end of the rainbow.
You know, I think that I agree with you. I think something that I would really love to talk about and share is I remember when we had gone to do glamour shots together.
Oh, yes.
And before we had done the glamour shots, I remember you being a little nervous about going, and it was cute, like, being able to look back at it now.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm all girly and feminine,
yes.
And we actually took a trip to glamour shots, and we did a makeover.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought all my halter dresses and diamond necklaces and everything we could do to glam up and do photo shoots. And I have to say that when something permanently shifted in you that day, and I had gone a couple of weeks before, I did my photo shoot, and I fell in love with the girl that did the shots, and I told Frida, you
yeah.
have to come there. We spent the day there, and when I witnessed it, and it was fun. We kind of played dress up and pulled the outfit and clothes together and things like that. That, for me, I think was the biggest transformation I've ever seen in you. And there's something that permanently I saw shift. And when I was watching them and they were paying so much attention to you and getting your hair done and your makeup and you just look like a movie star, I had to step away and I actually cried. And the girl caught me. It was
yeah.
so emotional for me because I just watched you with this glow in your eye that I never saw before. And I'm just wondering when, from your point of view, being pampered like that and being transformed and having that, seeing like what's possible and how fun it could be, coming from being a little bit more reserved, because, of course, we're on the radio now and Frida tends to be a little bit more conservative and a little bit more you know, less makeup or, you know.
And very low maintenance. Low maintenance.
Low maintenance is good. And I'm the opposite. My hair is all over and I got a lipstick and nails. And so we're kind of funny like that. But just watching it, though, and not saying that everybody has to be done up all the time, but there was something about, I mean, in Glamour Chefs, they treat you like a movie star. And there was something about that, and I don't know what it was that was so emotional for me, but I'm wondering what came up for you when you were doing it.
For me, and we had discussions about this for a while, I think a lot of times women in general will shut down over time when mm-hmm. they feel that there's something missing. And for me, it had been for a long time. I had felt that I had shut down that feminine side.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of women can relate, and probably you can relate as well.
Yeah.
You know, we're taking care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're providing for ourselves. We're going out into the world making things happen. And for me, I had really shut down my feminine side. And I remember I told you, you know, Amanda, I'm going to create a lookbook for myself, and I'm going to, you know, have my favorite movie star
mm-hmm.
be my kind of my mentor, my mantra.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have been the one that said, you know what, let me kickstart that.
Yeah.
And that's what's great about coaches, everyone, is that coaches see your, you know, your little the little things that hold you, your little blocks, right? They see the things that are holding you back.
And those blocks are like a window of opportunity.
Yes, yes. So I know that you saw something
mm-hmm.
and you said, okay, I booked you for Glamour Shots.
Oh, yeah, you had no say in the matter.
I had no say in the matter, and I think I had pushed it off a few times.
Yeah.
And you were like, you know what, this is going to kickstart your goal. And I remember what shifted for me there was really getting in touch with my fun side,
mm-hmm.
you know, with my playful side, with my sexy side. And it was so great because I didn't have those, you know, those little voices in my head
mm-hmm.
and those insecurities. And, you know, I would recommend this to anyone who wants to kind of do something bold and step out of their, you know, out of their comfort zone. And that was for me stepping out of my comfort zone. And, you know, I always thank Amanda for that because I think it inspired a lot of people as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They see your picture and they say, who is that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what was it that you were, what were you feeling? Did it connect with you in any way?
It did, but it's, I think for me, I saw what was always possible for you.
Mm.
And I saw in you what you saw for the first time that day.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I think, again, that's a perfect segue into coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Your coach sees what's possible for you that you don't see for yourself.
Absolutely. I just want to mention, just in case anyone's listening, we do accept live callers. I forgot to mention the number earlier. We had some technical difficulties starting. We got a little bit of a late start. But in case you're listening, you have any questions, you'd love to call in, our number for the guest call-in is 646-716-9397. So we'll be checking periodically for live callers, and you can chime in, ask us a question, let us know what you think about the show. Our main, you know, it would be a good time to talk about our purpose for the show, that we want to really work, our direction of our coaching is so complementary, and we really want to help women to grow in all aspects of their life. I mean, not just loving themselves as far as what we see on the exterior, but there's the interior also. And there's so many aspects of that. There is how we love ourselves and, you know, our careers and our relationships and just being the best version of ourselves. And both of us have such a commitment to really working on that and working with our clients. So, Frida, what do you think about some of the ideas that maybe we could talk about in the future? What are some?
So, as you can tell, We have a great rapport. We have a great chemistry. I think we kind of balance each other out, where Amanda's sort of like this glam girl. I'm kind of, you know, direct and you know, just pretty reserved and contained and kind of stable and secure. Kind of, you know, like old reliable.
I'm the risk taker.
But at the same time, we're very similar. You know, we're very similar. We're very heart-centered. We're very caring individuals. But we do, our goal and our focus, just to reiterate what Amanda was saying, was our purpose, our goal is really to help women.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been there. Anything that you've experienced, we've experienced it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're interested in focusing and exploring topics that range from relationships. We have a background in positive psychology. We want to discuss body image. Something very important that's worked for us in our lives is visualization.
Oh, yeah.
Communication,
mm-hmm.
Just how we can create better thought patterns. So there's so much that we'd like to cover and explore.
I'm so glad that you brought up visualization. That was what I had meant to bring up earlier. It's funny, when Frida and I first met, about 5-6 years ago when we were in our coaching program, we had done a vision board together. I never understood the value of a vision board. And we all sat in this classroom with paper cut up all over the place and scissors and glue and glitter and ribbons. And I had no idea what the purpose of was this.
It was like art class, right?
I thought that I was maybe in kindergarten. And I didn't understand what I was doing until it was done. And I didn't even see the value, but, you know, I look at my vision board now because I actually have it hanging on my wall 6 years later. And just know where I was at that time to where I am now, I've actually met about 85% of what my goals were that were on the vision board. One of the things that I dreamed of was to live by the water. And I was living landlocked in Westchester County, New York, which if you know anything about Westchester, it's just trees and there's no people, and I was miserable. I was at a miserable job. I hated where I lived, and I needed to be by the water. And this year, just this year, I had an opportunity. And again, this is something that it goes back to what we were saying before. When you see something you want, you go after it. I remember looking online at apartments, and I saw from a picture in a window, the corner of the window had a piece of blue. And I knew exactly where they were because I always wanted to live on the ocean in Rockaway Beach. And I knew exactly where this complex was because I recognized the blue. Nothing else had that color. And I said, that's it. That's the apartment for me. I left Westchester that night at 7:30 at night. The woman that was renting it said, don't you want to come in the daytime to see the ocean? I said, I've seen the ocean. I want the apartment. And I went there, and it took me 2 hours to get there. I signed the lease that night and moved in within a couple of weeks. And, you know, that's kind of the difference of where I was before to where I am now. If I see something, I want it, I go after it, I get it. And I look at my vision board, and that's exactly what's on my vision board. Everything that I wanted for myself just changes in my lifestyle, my mindset, my living, my career. I've never been more at peace and centered than I am now. And I really think it's interesting to look at that vision board subconscious. It's not even fully in my, you know, it's not that I'm focused on it every day. But now all these years have passed and I look at it and I say, oh, I actually did all that.
And it's funny because I remember in the class, you doing this vision board,
mm-hmm.
and whenever we spoke, you'd always mention living by the beach, living by the ocean, that you were a water baby,
mm-hmm.
and it's funny how, it's subconsciously, you know, you manifested everything that you wanted.
Yes.
And then through time, you've gotten more confident,
mm-hmm.
and with every little step, with every victory, it makes it easier to really manifest your goals.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What do you think has been most rewarding for you doing the vision?
For me, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because when Amanda mentioned that she had found her vision board and she had it up, I said, you know what, let me reconnect with my vision board. And my vision board was connected to just kind of living colorfully and boldly and, you know, surrounding.
She's wearing a pink sweater right now.
And anyone who knows me knows that I just wear black. I'm a Manhattan girl. I wear black and I wear no color. And yeah, and so
it's my sweatshirt.
But yeah, and it's always important to reconnect to your vision. And I think that's the most important thing. You know, I had it kind of tucked away, and I pulled it out, and I was like, you know what? This is realigning with everything that I want, which is working with women, working with image, helping women attain the confidence and the security that I've managed to attain over time. Helping women just revisit their goals and reawaken their beautiful. And that's kind of our mission, to help women reconnect with what makes them beautiful from the inside out. And it's not just the surface. It's all about, you know, what is it in your life that maybe you've forgotten about, that you have, you know, just thought, well, this can't happen for me. It's really about reconnecting to your truest self, your authentic voice. Like, what gives you passion? What makes you excited? What makes you happy? So, yeah, absolutely. The visualization is something that we'll be talking about and revisiting in one of our upcoming shows.
I think we're both due for a new vision board.
I think so.
I think we've outgrown our vision board.
Are you gonna have your own private island?
Yeah, that's my next goal. Now that I work from home, this has always been my dream. It's funny you mentioned that. Now my next dream, and I'm just talking about this today, is I'm trying to figure out how to buy property in the Caribbean. And I figure I don't have to go into an office every day, so why am I going to torture myself in the snow? I have no desire to dig out my car. It could just sit there and just rot for all I care for the rest of the winter. I want to be in the Caribbean.
It's a very practical, yeah, and it's very practical vision now that you are, you know, a successful entrepreneur.
Yes.
You can work from anywhere.
Yeah. So I want to start out traveling, but that's my next, you know, that's going to be part of my next vision board, is that I need to figure out how to go about it. I have no idea how to buy property in another country. I was just talking about this today. But that's my next thing. That's my next big project. What do you see as your next big project? What do you see for yourself?
So I think you have been a really, and that's what's great about Amanda and I, you know, we've seen each other through the low point and the high point. And for me, I really want to launch my image and etiquette consulting business. I'm planning on launching my Reawaken Beautiful website, which you've helped me with as well. So those are some of my main goals, starting my blog. So there's so many goals that I have in mind, and I know that I'll achieve it.
Something I'm really hoping to get together next year, and it'll be the first time I've ever planned something like this, but I'm trying to plan a retreat in the Caribbean.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm not really sure how to go about getting everyone together and advertising it, but I just think that it's just the perfect place to do it. So I'm very pleased. You know me, it's probably not going to have running water, but as grand as I am,
you can rough it. You are very good at roughing it. We have stories. I have stories.
As glamorous as I am and as much as I love to get dressed up, I have dragged Frida all over the place, and we have stayed at places that had no electricity in the middle of the night, outhouses, and the whole nine. So I have a very unique interpretation of comfort and relaxation.
And I'm like, why, Amanda, why? The experience of it, yeah, for the adventure.
Yeah, I'll be happy. What was the next thing? I wanted to go horseback riding in the Caribbean with a medicine doctor to learn about plants. That's my next trip. Yes.
Okay, so that's next for the vision board.
Yes. So I'll have horses and the blue waters on my next vision board. So I'm really excited about all the direction that we are going to be able to take this business. I think today is really focused on having an introduction and being able to give you an opportunity to learn about us, kind of see what we're about, and really just learn about who we are, our background, what we're going to bring to the table, what is available to have for our show in the future. We're hoping to maybe even have some special guests call in, and it'll be exciting. If you have any questions at all, if you'd like to call in, I'm just going to give you the number again. It is 646-716-9397. We can take some live callers. And feel free to, if you have a question, if you would like to know, if you have something burning on your heart and you want to learn more about how to get out of an area in your life that you're stuck, you have an opportunity to speak with not one, but two life coaches where we can really just kind of give you some ideas and get you out of that area that you're stuck. And I think that's the beauty of having us together, is that you'll have more than one point of view where we can really give you some feedback in some areas in your life that you would like to see some change and some transition so that you can reach that next level.
Absolutely. And I think we do have this great chemistry. We are sort of like left brain, right brain. I think that's what, so let's talk at the same time, Amanda. Let's scare the people.
We did not rehearse that.
So actually, is there something that you'd like me to ask you for our audience, something that maybe our audience doesn't know about you?
Oh, boy.
Like a fun fact.
A fun fact. Yes. What will I be doing this weekend?
Reggae.
I am not only a multi-passionista, but I am a multicultural passionista. I love culture. I love doing everything about culture, and I'm particularly drawn to the Caribbean culture. We'll be doing, there's a Caribbean parade out here in Brooklyn, and we're going dancing and a lot of different activities all throughout the city in Brooklyn this weekend. So this is actually my favorite weekend, my favorite time of year. So I am just counting the days until Friday.
Do you do this every year? Is this like an annual thing for you?
To some degree, but I had ankle surgery a few years back, and I used to go dancing a lot, and it took me a long time to really get through that surgery. It was a really challenging point in my life. And actually, I had the surgery after we were in our coaching program together, and I remember. Just so vividly, and we used to do practice coaching when we were in class and learning how to handle different situations, and I will never forget, I remember this coaching experience that I had where one of my peers sat with me and asked me what it was like to go through this feeling of not being able to be who I'm called to be anymore. Mm. I had to stop going to the gym, and I couldn't dance, and all these things from the injury, I just felt trapped. And I remember so clear, she asked me what it looked like or what it felt like.
Mm.
And I said, it felt like I was being pulled into the quicksand. My legs felt like dead tree trunks.
Wow.
That were mounted into the quicksand, being sucked down. And I couldn't move.
So vivid.
Mm-hmm. I actually went into a panic attack in class because it was so intense. And I remember when we were going through the visualization, because I had my eyes closed, and it was so intense and it was so emotional for me to recognize and to really explain to someone else the visualization aspect of it. She said a really magical sentence to me that I'll never forget. And she said, what would happen if you just took one hand and reached up out of the quicksand for help. And that just shifted
wow.
everything. And it was the simplest question. And you wouldn't think that that was so profound, but just being able to take that one hand and put it up made me realize that, you know, I don't have to do it all on my own, that I can ask for help. And so this goes back again to visualization. Sometimes explaining a situation for the mere fact of I'm in pain and I have to go for surgery and I want to go dancing or walking and I can't isn't sufficient enough. But when that visualization was almost 6 years ago, and I remember it like as if it happened yesterday.
Sometimes words are not enough, like
yeah.
to explain your situation.
Yeah.
But that visualization was able to take you there
mm-hmm.
and then take you right out of it.
Mm-hmm. It's almost similar to when we had studied NLP and we went up to Boston, and there's a technique called anchoring. And the visualization is kind of in an aspect similar to anchoring, where that memory, I can go back into that feeling that even talking about it, I kind of felt the heaviness as I was talking. I'm sure my voice probably dropped, or I connected to the emotion of it just saying it because it was so vivid to me.
And you always go back to it. That's how
yeah.
powerful it was, that you always go back to that
yeah.
That technique, that practice.
Mm-hmm.
So
I really value that this weekend I'm finally really getting to go out and do what I love, because I've done a little bit here and there, but this weekend I've missed out on for a couple of years now, also because I lived so far away. It was just impossible to get out here. I mean, the traffic, it's just an all-day affair to drive out here on Liberty weekend. But now, you know, I can just hop on the subway and I'm right there. So I get to really enjoy this weekend for the first time in a really long time.
That's great.
Yeah. So what's your little question that you'd like me to put you on the spot for?
Oh, we're running out of time.
We're not. We still have 5 minutes.
I don't know, Amanda. Well, one thing that people don't know about me, because I have this kind of veneer of the facade of just being really serious and really responsible, is that I'm a bit of a goofball, which, Amanda, you've seen it.
I've seen it all.
We were just talking about how close we are now that we're doing. There is nothing that we have not seen.
Yeah, that's what happens when you travel without electricity.
Without hairbrushes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, it looks like we're almost wrapping up. We have about 4 minutes left, so there's just a couple of little technical things I want to go over. Our next show that you want to tune in for is going to be hosted on September 9th, and that's going to be hosted with Jan Jaffe. It's called Your Best Life. And she's going to be interviewing Betsy Otter Thompson at 12 o'clock. Frida and I will be doing this together once a month, every first Tuesday of the month at 8 o'clock. The next show will be on October 6th. So we're really excited. Every week we're going to have a new topic. This week it was a little bit more broad and general, so you can learn about us, find out kind of who we are.
Just a nice introduction to us, our feel, our flavor, as it were.
Mm-hmm. So now I'm going to be doing another show myself.
Ooh.
Yes, on September 15th, I think it is. It's going to be 2 weeks from today. It's going to be on Tuesday. So basically every other Tuesday, you can have a piece of me. You have an opportunity to get me every other Tuesday. And unfortunately, those months that have 5 weeks in it, you have to hold out a little longer.
Just keep the people waiting. Give them a little peek.
So we have a couple more minutes left. If anybody'd like to call in, we'll give you the number one last time. It's 646-716-9397. So what do you think maybe you want to shoot for one of our next episodes? What's your ideas that you have?
I'm thinking visualization would be a fun topic, since we've touched upon it a few times in our conversation today. So that would be really, really cool. Awesome.
Yeah, you know, we have a great visualization exercise that we had done in class
mm-hmm.
together. I still remember that one.
Yes,
remember when we traveled?
I do.
I think we're going to have to do that travel one for everyone in the next round.
I'm so excited.
I think it's going to be great.
People, are you excited? I can hear you. I can hear you all.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be our focus now.
Yeah.
We just decided that right now so that you know. We are going to focus on visualization, and there is an amazing, I'll give you a little sneak taste that we had done in our course 5 years ago. And this visualization that we went through, which was kind of almost like a guided meditation, I'm not going to tell you what it was because you'll find out on the next episode, but I still see it. I saw my future. I saw my home. I know who my husband is, my children. I saw my environment. I saw everything. And I'm so committed to that visualization. And I've done visualizations before. But I am so committed to that visualization that I know that's my future.
Did you anchor to that visualization?
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's my future. There's nothing, you can't tell
you
me that's not.
You can't deviate from that.
Yes. So we are going to do that exercise with you.
I'm so excited about it.
Yeah, that was a great idea. Thanks, Rhea. High five.
High five. We're high five.
All right, so it was great being here, talking with all of you. I hope you enjoyed our program.
This is a great, great first show. First show ever.
We almost didn't get live, but we pulled it through, and we wrapped up on time. I think we did great.
Another high five.
All right, high five. So everybody go celebrate. And
thank you, everybody.
We will be back in 2 weeks. Yeah. No, a month.
In a month.
I'll be back in 2 weeks. All right, everyone. Have a great night.
Have a great night.
Bye-bye.